Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Once in an era, a true crime story comes along that immediately grabs and holds the public eye. We have the Black Dahlia, Patty Hearst, JonBenet Ramsey, and now Gabby Petito. These cases are similar to so many other true crime cases. There is an abduction, a search, often a murder. But for different reasons, these cases implant themselves into their respective eras. They become part of that era because there is usually something about the victim's life that provides a snapshot of the culture at the time. In this case, it has to do with the very popular van life phenomenon and the fact that it all happened right before our eyes as we were stuck at home during the middle of a worldwide pandemic. This is the case of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie. Let's get into it. 2019. Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie are high school sweethearts. They met at Bayport Blue Point High School in Long Island, New York. Friends of the couple report that their relationship was volatile. It was on again, off again, and they say there was always a lot of drama going on between the two. Ben Machula told People magazine, one minute they'd be all over each other, and the next minute he'd be like, we're fighting. They always had some drama. There was always something beneath the surface where things weren't 100% wonderful. In 2016, the couple split up when Brian graduated, but they got back together in 2017 when Gabby graduated, and they had been together ever since. The couple had decided neither one of them was going to attend college, and they moved in with Brian's parents. Gabby was working as a pharmacy tech and a waitress, and Brian was making a little bit of money here and there selling his artwork. It sounds like Gabby was really bringing in the majority of their income at the time. Many people would like to be artists full time, but you know, that doesn't pay the bills, and it doesn't sound like Brian was bringing in much cash. People close to Gabby and Brian report there was always a lot of arguing about money going on between the two. In July of 2020, Gabby posted on her Instagram telling the world that Brian had proposed to her and the two were engaged. The caption read, Brian asked me to marry him and I said yes. You make life feel unreal and every day is such a dream with you. When the couple realized how severely the pandemic was going to affect things like weddings and parties, they put their engagement on hold until they could have the ceremony that they wanted. It's at this point in time that they decide they're going to try van life, and they purchased their van on December 11th, 2020. I know a little bit about van life. My son and his wife spent months converting a Sprinter van into a home. They lived with me part of the time while they were working on it. It was a lot of work, but they enjoyed it for a bit. And then my daughter-in-law was accepted into her dream program for medical residency and they sold the van. But let me tell you, those things are a lot of work. And there is also a very big online community with van lifers. They share experiences, they share ideas, they put their van life videos up online. It shows how they build their vans out, the different features that each one of them had. It's really kind of a big deal right now. I'm not really sure how much work Gabby and Brian put into their van, but I know they had a bed in there. They had a little bit of a kitchenette and some tables. They spent months saving up and preparing for their trip, and soon they were ready for their biggest adventure. July 2nd, 2021. Gabby and Brian go to Gabby's younger brother's high school graduation in Blue Point, New York, and then they left New York for their cross-country journey to see the national parks and other sites. They planned to be gone for about 4 months. Gabby really wanted to become a social media influencer. She created a YouTube channel and began posting about the van and the plans the couple had together. You can tell she really put a lot of time and thought into her online persona. She carefully chooses her poses and her photo locations to look and feel like what is currently popular in that influencer genre. And she put a lot of time in editing and production into her videos.
Gabby Petito never goes outside.
Because it's sunset.
Gabby and Brian left in their white 2012 Ford Transit van, planning to travel from Florida to Kansas, then on to Colorado and Utah, touring and camping in the national parks. On July 4th, 2021, they were in Monument Rock, Kansas. They were in Colorado Springs, Colorado by July 8th, and then saw Great Sand Dunes National Park in Colorado on July 10th. All of this is very well documented on Gabby's Instagram, which is still up, and I will put a link to her Instagram in the description of this video. They made their way to Zion National Park, which is about 40 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. They arrived on June 16th, and it's there in Zion that the now infamous tent shots and tent video were taken. They hiked the Narrows, which is something we like to do at least once every year, and they camped, and they seemed to be having a really great time. They then moved on to Bryce Canyon National Park, which is north of Zion and up in the mountains. It's an absolutely magnificent place. As you can see here, not only are they having what appears to be a fabulous time, Gabby is laying down a gorgeous meal. This is really a beautiful little spread. She posts this video clip from the area, and it's now kind of chilling to watch. Gabby is posting from their tent, and Brian is doing some yoga outside, and then Gabby makes some breakfast. And now it feels like, I don't know, knowing what we know now, it almost seems like they're kind of performing for the camera. We now know that things were not very good between the couple, and it's all pretty disturbing.
Hello, hello, and good morning. It is really nice and sunny today. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning, but it rained all afternoon yesterday.
Oh my god! The tent is just coming in on me. The wind is so bad. I'm just sitting here like this for a while.
Me and Brian just got up and got ready, made the bed in the tent, set up. I think our plan for today is to just hang out here in the tent. Brian's stretching, doing some morning yoga.
That's cool.
There we go, Wes.
Make some yogurt.
Looking to steal some of his granola.
All the chocolate
so
melted.
It's a river of chocolate. Be cautious.
You can't keep chocolate in Utah. Not in July. Or in a clear plastic container.
Or in, yeah.
That is always in the sun.
was in the tent this morning, and that's why.
Gabby and Brian then stop at Mystic Hot Springs, and they just seem to be having the time of their lives. They take lots of photos of this really beautiful place. They then travel east into Canyonlands National Park, which is near Moab, Utah. They take photos at Mesa Arch. They're holding hands and kissing and smiling and just appear to be the picture of a couple in love. Brian is snapping lots of photos of Gabby, and they're taking lots of photos together as well. It's now really sad to read Gabby's words. She talks about how she shimmied down the rocks holding her camera after waiting in line to get photos by the arch. She tells a little story about how she was very daring to climb on the slick side of the famous arch and how she actually had to help someone who got stuck trying to do what she was doing. Later that day, she posts this shot of her legs through the open door of the van, and she posts this overhead shot of the van, and then the next day, they head into Moab. August 12th, 2021.
Grant County Sheriff's Office.
Were you able to get a description of the intoxication?
Hi, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm right on the corner of Main Street by Moonflower, and we're driving by, and I'd like to report a domestic dispute. The Florida with a white van, Florida license plate, white land, gentleman. They just drove off. They're going down Main Street. They made a right onto Main Street from Moonflower.
Or what were they doing?
Cooperative, but what'd you say?
What were they doing?
We drove by, and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
This call alerted the Moab police to the fact that Gabby and Brian were openly fighting in front of this business called the Moonflower Co-op, which sits just above the main drag in Moab. As you heard, the caller reported seeing Brian Laundrie slapping Gabby Petito and then rushing her into the van before driving off. The caller gives the police the license plate number and the description of the van, and police then locate the van and pull it over right here. In this clip, I'm standing in the exact location where the now infamous traffic stop took place. It feels very strange to stand here in this spot on the side of the road, this spot that millions and millions of people have seen only through the body camera footage of the officers involved. It was a rainy day when we were there, and that definitely added to the strange, melancholy feeling of being there. The traffic stop body cam footage captured by the police is about an hour and 20 minutes long. We could talk about this traffic stop for days. Did the police handle this properly? Did they not? Did they do enough to protect Gabby? Did they yuck it up with Brian too much? We could go on and on about this traffic stop. The police see that Brian Laundrie has scratches on his face, and Gabby is crying. There has obviously been a physical altercation. Right before the cops pulled the van over, it actually had kind of jumped the curb and run into the curb. And then Brian tells the police that's because Gabby grabbed the wheel and jerked it as he was driving. The police separate the couple. They tell Gabby to go sit in the air-conditioned car. Remember, this is August in Moab. It's around 105 degrees there at that time. And they take Brian aside and they speak with him. Now, again, we could talk about this one particular part of the story for days, but in the end, they decide not to arrest either party. They order them to spend the night apart, one of them in a motel room and the other in the van. Brian goes to the hotel, which I find a little bit strange. It was paid for by a domestic abuse outreach program in Moab, and Gabby stays alone in the van. There has been some pretty severe criticism of the Moab police that they should have arrested Brian Laundrie. People say that Gabby was showing all the signs of being abused and that the police should have recognized it. I think that's definitely part of this discussion. I will say that the Moab officers are very respectful and kind in the video. They are compassionate and they are thoughtful and they are doing what they can to de-escalate the situation. Could they have done some things differently, better? Probably. Would it have changed the outcome of this case? Who knows? If you know people who have been in this kind of very toxic relationship, those relationships are a living, breathing entity, a fire-breathing entity, and they're always kind of a collision course. How bad that collision will be when it finally happens, because it always happens, that is really the only difference on how these kinds of relationships end. I need to say that both Gabby and Brian told the police officers they did not want the other party to go to jail. They said they were in love and they promised the fight was over. The couple's whereabouts for the next several days after they are reunited are not well documented, but we do know that the couple makes their way to northern Utah. And on August 17th, 5 days after the traffic stop, Brian Laundry leaves Gabby Petito in Salt Lake City and flies home to Tampa, Florida. When he gets there, he tells his family that he needs to get some items from the couple's storage unit, things they need but don't have the money to buy, and he closes up the storage unit so they don't have to keep paying for it every month. I'm assuming he must have got a really cheap plane ticket because of COVID, because they were very low on funds at this point. Again, we could discuss the ins and outs of this trip, why it happened, for hours, but Brian is gone from the 17th of August to the 23rd, and then he flies back to northern Utah and reunites with Gabby. There is a lot of tension between the couple at this point, and their relationship is hanging by a thread. August 25th, 2021. The last post Gabby Petito ever makes is posted to her Instagram account. She puts up these photos taken outside a monarch butterfly mural in Ogden, Utah. Ogden is about 35 miles north of Salt Lake City. The photos were taken at a place called Monarch, which is an artist's collaborative co-op. Gabby is holding a little pumpkin and the caption reads, "Happy Halloween." She never posts again. On August 27th, 2 days after the photos are posted, the couple is in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They were at a restaurant called the Merry Piglet, and things had become very tense between the couple. When you're in a relationship and you get to the point that you can't even control your fighting in public, things are very, very serious. A witness named Nina Angelo said Brian Laundry was screaming at the hostess of this restaurant, and it appeared to her as though they were being kicked out. Gabby and Brian weren't really fighting at the time. Gabby had started crying in the restaurant and had got up and left, and then Brian exploded at the restaurant staff. Gabby came back in crying and apologizing, and then the two left together. I have to say, Brian Laundry seems like a real punk to me. You know, he doesn't work. He doesn't have a job. He lives with his parents because he doesn't have a job. He's abusive to his girlfriend. He's abusive to retail and restaurant workers. He just sounds like an asshole. We all have our moments. You can throw a rock in my hometown and hit somebody that doesn't like me, but he just seemed to have more of these moments than most of us. The couple drove out of the parking lot and no one ever saw them together again. On August 30th, Nicole Schmidt, who is Gabby Petito's mother, said she received what would be the last text message she ever got from Gabby's phone, but she has since said that she is sure the message did not come from Gabby herself. The last message read, "Can you help Stan? I just keep getting his voicemails and missed calls." Well, Stan was Gabby's grandfather, who she obviously called Grandpa, not Stan. So this is why Gabby's mom said these messages were not coming from Gabby, even though they were coming from her phone. Now Nicole gets very concerned, and her concern only grows when she can't get Gabby to respond to her messages. The last time she heard from Gabby's phone was later on the 30th of August, when a message came to her that said, "No service in Yosemite." A few days later, on September 1st, Brian Laundry shows up at the Northport home he and Gabby had been living at with his parents. He had driven that van all the way back to Florida, but Gabby Petito was not with him. He was alone. At this point, Gabby's parents are in a full panic. They are frantic because they cannot get in touch with Gabby or Brian. They don't know where their daughter is and they want answers. They contact the police and the police begin looking into the situation. On September 6th, Brian travels with his family to a campground about 75 miles away from their home for a little weekend getaway. The family sat around the fire and cooked meals and relaxed, and for them, life was pretty normal. I'm sorry, but what was going through their minds at this point in time? Are they asking where Gabby is? Are they concerned? Are they buying into Brian's stories? We still don't know because they really haven't said. But while the Laundries are having a nice, relaxing weekend, Gabby's family is beside themselves. They're hoping she is out in the park somewhere in the West without service. So for days, they just wait to hear from her. But by September 11th, they are finished waiting. They go to the police and report Gabby missing. The New York police contact the Florida police in Northport, and that department sends officers to the laundry home. The officers knock on the door, and Brian's parents open it, say nothing, and hand them the business card of their lawyer. The officer tries to talk to them, and he tells them, hey, we've got to talk to Brian. He's going to have to talk to us. Brian's parents refuse to communicate with the police, and they refuse to cooperate in any way, shape, or form. Now Gabby's family is in full panic mode. A few days later, on September 16th, Gabby's parents hold a press briefing, and their attorney reads a letter written by the parents. It reads in part, please, if you or your family have any decency left, please tell us where Gabby is located. Tell us if we are even looking in the right place. All we want is for Gabby to come home. Please help us make that happen. We haven't been able to sleep or eat, and our lives are falling apart. Brian Laundrie's parents say absolutely nothing. Finally, on September 17th, the Laundries call the police to their home, and they sit down with them inside. The Laundries tell the police that they have no idea where Brian is. They claim they have not seen him since September 14th and have had no communication with him. Brian Laundrie has disappeared. September 19th, 2021. Searchers in Teton County, Wyoming find human remains. The news hits the media and spreads like wildfire. At this point, WFLA is covering this case round the clock. I watched what was nearly 24/7 live coverage on their YouTube channel off and on during this time, and let me tell you, people were obsessed with this case. There were online sleuths and people who were genuinely trying to help. And then there were just busybody conspiracy theorists, people who were making everything worse. It was very sensational. I was watching one of these live streams when word came in that a body had been found in Grand Teton National Park, and the newsroom basically erupted. Phones were ringing, people were running around. It was chaos. Authorities would not confirm to a certainty that the remains were those of Gabby Petito, but they said instead the remains were consistent with the description of Gabby Petito. The next day, the FBI went to the home of Brian Laundrie's parents and questioned them. Christopher and Roberta Laundrie were escorted out of their home as federal agents with a search warrant went top to bottom through the house. The agents were at the Laundrie home for hours. 2 days later, on September 21st, word comes from the Teton County coroner that they have confirmation. Yes, it was Gabby Petito's body that had been found. She had been manually strangled and her cause of death was ruled homicide. Authorities make an official statement saying Brian Laundrie is the only suspect in the murder and that they cannot find him. Joe Petito, Gabby's father, said he believed that Brian Laundrie was in hiding. He said, he's a coward, flat out. I could use some other words, but I can't use them on your show. Coward. Anyone that lived in that house is a coward, and they don't know how to stand up for their actions. The family then asked for privacy to prepare for Gabby's remains to be returned to them so she could be buried. The search for Brian Laundrie intensifies. Authorities are now looking for a murderer, not just a missing person. The news coverage for this case was insane. Again, WFLA out of Florida is broadcasting on YouTube Live pretty much all day, every day. Viewers are commenting on these live feeds with questions and lots of opinions as to where they think Brian Laundrie is. There were actually people taking time off of work to go out into the area around Brian Laundrie's parents' home and look for Brian. In the midst of it all, a woman named Norma Jean Jalovec comes forward and tells the police that she had seen Brian Laundrie walking from Jackson Lake Dam on August 29th. This was back in Wyoming. She gave him a ride to the Spread Creek camping area, a spot that later becomes very significant. So this new information sends people into a frenzy. People following the case become convinced that this woman saw Brian walking either to or from Gabby's body. And, well, there are people who believe his parents are hiding him. And one of the saddest parts of this time frame is what was going on at Brian Laundrie's sister's house. I remember watching the live coverage one day, and Brian's sister, Cassie, came storming out of the house, which was surrounded by reporters and cameras 24/7, and she was literally begging them to leave her family alone. She said that her children were frightened, and they didn't understand what was happening, and I found that sad and disturbing. She kind of insinuated at one point that she wasn't speaking to her parents, and that statement caused a lot of speculation about whether that meant they were arguing or that she was angry with them or that they were just spending time apart. It really was a circus atmosphere. The news media brings on wilderness survival experts who opine as to whether or not they believe Brian Laundrie has the skills to survive alone in the swamplands of Florida by himself, you know, for weeks on end. People talk about alligators and whether or not he could have been eaten. It was just like every scenario that you can think of was posed all day, every day during these live streams. And then suddenly all of the questions were answered, but many more were born. October 20th, 2021. Weeks into the search for Brian Laundrie, word comes to the sheriff's department that volunteers have found human remains. It was widely known that Brian liked to hike on a trail in the Miahatchee Creek Park, which is connected to the Carlton Reserve. This area was very familiar to Brian Laundrie, and everyone involved felt he may be in that reserve somewhere. The remains were first described as being partially skeletonized, and it was announced that with those remains, a backpack and other articles were found, and those items appeared to belong to Brian Laundrie. It was then announced that the items had been underwater for some time, including the body, but that the waters had shifted, revealing the items. The next day, on October 21st, the FBI announced that a dental records comparison confirmed that the human remains found the day before were those of Brian Laundrie. The remains were taken into custody for further testing. About a month later, it was announced that the cause of death was by gunshot. Brian Laundrie had taken his own life out there in the reserve. Now, of course, this sets off a whole new path for the conspiracy theorists. People post comments saying they don't believe the body is Brian, there's some kind of a cover-up, that his parents are hiding him, you know, all kinds of stuff. I find those kinds of comments to be really insulting, as I find most comments that have to do with conspiracy theories. When you say you believe things like that, when you are accusing hundreds of people who have dedicated their lives to law enforcement and to science of lying, of being liars, do you know how serious that is? Do you know what it would take to get 50 law enforcement officials and a coroner and the FBI and the forensic dentists and everyone else to go in on a big lie like that? This is why most conspiracy theories are so stupid to me. I know some of them have some validity, but people who believe in most of these have obviously never been a manager or run anything in a business, because you cannot get 10 people to decide what to put on a pizza. And some people believe that we have these giant conspiracy theories where hundreds of people are in on some big secret. You think that not one of them is going to spill that for money or clout? You're nuts. You're nuts. It just doesn't happen. And again, I just think it's insulting to insinuate that people who have dedicated their lives to science or law enforcement are just lying to the public as a big group. That's wild to me. Several months go by, and then in January of 2020, the FBI releases a statement. They are officially closing the Gabby Petito murder and the death of Brian Laundrie. They state that they have found a notebook that belonged to Brian. That was one of the articles that was found at the scene. And in that notebook, there are, quote, written statements by Mr. Laundrie claiming responsibility for Miss Petito's death. In this same statement, the FBI also confirms that it was Gabby's credit card that Brian used without authorization back between August and September. That's how he paid for his trip back to Florida. They had actually had a warrant earlier on for Brian Laundrie for unauthorized use of a credit card. The FBI states they have met with Gabby Petito's family and have informed them of everything they know, and that they will be closing their investigation. Several months go by, and then we get news that Gabby Petito's parents have filed a civil lawsuit against Brian Laundrie's parents. In that civil lawsuit, Gabby's parents allege that the Laundries knew what their son had done and that they aided and abetted him. They helped him flee, and that they were co-conspirators to some degree. Brian Laundrie's parents then asked the court to dismiss the lawsuit, stating they have a constitutional right to silence and that they were under no obligation to speak or to divulge any information that they had. Now, yes, there is some validity to that claim. Morally? Ethically? Is that the hill you want to die on? Look, I can't even imagine how difficult this must have been. No one wants to turn against their own child. I get that. But could they have done more? I don't know. What do you guys think? As of right now, the civil trial is set to begin in August of 2023, more than a year from now. And that is barring dismissal. A lot of things could happen between now and then. And it is more than a little likely we will never see this civil suit actually go to trial. So that is where things stand at this point in time. I wish I had some grand advice, some old lady wisdom to give to you, but I really don't on this case. This to me is just a sad story, an age-old story of a very toxic relationship, a couple who regularly engaged in fighting and violence. It's something we all know happens. We all hear our neighbors yelling at each other over the fence. We see people arguing in public, and our knee-jerk response is always to turn away. It's none of our business, right? Or is it? I'll tell you what, the man who called the police that day in Moab decided to make it his business, and my hat's off to him. He absolutely did the right thing. He cared. He was concerned about this stranger, this young woman that he saw being physically abused, and he did something about it. Maybe that's part of why this case is so fascinating to us. Just how much do we really want to know? How much do we really want to be responsible for knowing what is going on right in front of our eyes, you know? How much do we really want to know about what's going on in the next house or at the table in the restaurant next to us? What exactly is our responsibility to our fellow man? No one wants to be nosy, but personally, I'd take being called nosy over feeling responsible that I didn't make that call any day. You never know who the next Gabby Petito will be. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Like the video if you liked the video, and subscribe to the channel if you would like to support me. It does help. Stay safe and be kind to each other, my friends, and I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.